We have come to Friday. We have come to Friday successfully and safely. And we got Olympic news, and we got Karen Veeley coming in.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
Holy dump truck. Michael Phelps just got his 17th gold medal. He has a chance for one more, but he has 17th gold medal. And so it's quite apparent that Michael Phelps has more gold than some countries.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osos in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
All right, you're Bill, and it's time for our birthdays and our who's is and what's according to the Tribune and what happened today and history and everything, and history is being made as we speak right there at the Olympics. Our heart in history: on August 3rd in 1492, Christopher Columbus set sail from Oppedo, Spain on a voyage that took him to the present-day Americas. On this date, 1914, Germany declared war on France on the outset of World War I. The National Basketball Association in 1949 was formed as a merger of the Basketball Association of America and the National Basketball League. And in 1987, the Iran-Contra congressional hearings ended with none of the 29 witnesses tying President Ronald Reagan directly to the diversion of arms sales profits to Nicaraguan rebels. A little Teflon action there. All right. Our birthdays today: singer Tony Bennett is 86, actor Martin Sheen is 72, lifestyle guru Martha Stewart is 71, rock singer James Hetfield from Metallica is 49, NFL quarterback Tom Brady is 35, and actress Evangeline Lilly is 33. So we'll say happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you, especially if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Welcome recording star Mel Torme.
It's terrible trying to sing with a bad cold, so I always take four-way cold tablets to relieve cold miseries fast.
Good idea. Tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. Four-way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains, headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
When you catch cold, try my way. Take four-way cold tablets. Fast way to relieve cold distress and feel better quickly.
Four-way, only 29 cents.
We'll be right back.
Our street party music is actually a prelude to CalcoastNews.com and Karen Vealey, and I welcome Karen to the studio right now. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
We've had a lot of stuff going on this week. We're a lot of things we want to talk about, and we'll start with you, whatever you want to start with.
Well, let's start with the Sheriff's Department, the scandal where they put the one gentleman on that had a fight with his wife. And the reason is usually that's made public if there is a sheriff deputy that's put on administrative leave for some type of battery. It's usually someone sent out in a press release. Well, I was informed about the issue and was informed that, you know, a gentleman named Steve, who was a higher-ranking deputy, a senior deputy, and has some say over this other deputy, had been sleeping with that deputy's wife at the, who also works at the sheriff's department. And this has been something, the reason this is news is it seems to be a fairly common problem. A couple of years ago, we had another triangle like this where one then tried to make false charges on the other. And, you know, false charges should be a criminal act, but because they're law enforcement, it was all hidden from the public and it was kept very hush-hush. Well, this time the one gentleman, you know, may not be able to go back to work. I think he kicked a trash can at his wife or something like that after finding out that she was sleeping with one of the senior deputies. Which, you know, obviously you can't have abuse in a relationship. But the interesting thing is Steve, who is a good friend of the Sheriff Ian Parkinson, suddenly doesn't get put on paid administrative leave. He's part of the investigation, as is Podolsky's wife. And but the only one that's on paid administrative leave is Podolsky. But the other interesting thing, and one of the issues that I had with the Sheriff's Department under Rob Brenn, if CalCoast News had a story and we called them for a comment, they would often say, we're going to get right back to you. We'll have those questions answered. I'll send you an email in a half an hour. And then they'd shoot out a press release and information on a story that you'd worked on for a week to the Tribune. And they did it, and this was under Rob Brenn, and Tony Coppola's now in the seat. He's a public information officer. He used to be in media, and I've always liked Tony. But what does Tony do? I call him and I say, you're not getting back to me. Wait 20 more minutes and I'll get your questions back to you. He doesn't answer one of my questions. He sends a press release to the rest of the media telling them the story that I have without clarifying anything I asked him to clarify. Just doesn't answer one question.
Now, why do you think that this is happening?
About 2 years ago, we were threatened if we wrote a story that had to do with Ian Parkinson, we wouldn't get equal treatment from the sheriff's department. And, you know, the idea of the press is to be a watchdog. It's not to be a lapdog. When someone threatens you in government, you don't say, okay, I won't cover that if you'll be nice to me. Now, for those that there has been a lot of controversy out this week, and a number of newspapers, especially in the Washington, D.C. area, have admitted that they let people change quotes and did certain things to get extra access. But again, the idea is to be a watchdog, not to be a lapdog and do favors and keep news out and change things in order to keep your media contacts. There are case laws that say you can't discriminate against one member of the media. The reason for that is it causes this type of threats and helps the watchdog function of the media is when government is doing things they shouldn't. And others, we can say something. It's not to write, you know, there was a, you know, there's soft news also, but it's, you know, the main focus of news is not to say, oh, you know, there was a great show at the theater this week.
Right. I find this interesting, and I find it, you know what's happening that, and well, you're creating this is what you're doing. And that is the fact that it's been a lot of years since there's been investigative reporting done on the Central Coast, quite frankly. I'm not saying there hasn't been any, but there hasn't been much. And all of a sudden now you've assumed that role of saying that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do this other fluffy fluff. I'm going to do this stuff. Well, so it's interesting because now all of a sudden everybody now has something to worry about, and it's called CalCoastNews.com. And so, you know, they're circling the wagons saying, okay, what do we do to not get in trouble? But the point is that if they're doing something, you know, the public should know about it. somebody should be able to tell the public about it. And when you do, then they retaliate against you. And I find that very unfortunate.
And, you know, our founding fathers put this in the Constitution. Well, there are, you know, there are reasons that the press has the ability to write about government. One nice thing I noticed, the shredder in the New Times this week basically came out and said the same thing that I would gather that they've probably done it to the New Times also, which to them it could even be more problematic to have them do this because they could leak a story to the Tribune and that they have worked on for a month, and suddenly the Tribune breaks it the next day because they get all the information from the Sheriff's Department and leaves the New Times that actually did the work and caused it to be public out in the lurch. But they wrote a very nice column claiming that this is a problem and that the Sheriff's Department should not be doing this.
Let's talk about other law enforcement in the news. And I reflected on something today when I heard about another shooting in Santa Maria. This was a high-speed chase. Guy got out of the car. He has a gun. And you look at there's been about five incidents, including the Cora Rubius thing, in the last few months. I think there's been five incidents of officer shooting. Now, the one that was a little bit weird, I'll admit it was a little strange, is when the guys wounded each other, and there's no really good explanation for that. But the interesting thing is, on Wednesday, amid, the public unrest following the shooting death of officer Cora Rubius, Junior Santa Maria Police Chief Danny McCogney was placed on paid administrative leave, and Commander Craig Rich was put in charge of the department. Now, here's what I don't get. People are like, well, we've had five shootings, in the last 3 months. Maybe it has to do with Santa Maria and doesn't have it to do in the whole wide world with a police chief. Is that possible?
It's possible, but if you look at the one shooting where the officer was shot, there, that was actually where they shot a suspect, killed him, and then they shot each other. It sounds like there's a little bit of, there are issues like this, and officers, I think it's uncommon for officers to shoot each other and kill the suspect.
So you're saying there might have been tension between the officers?
No.
Oh, you're not saying that?
No, but if it should, I think it sounds awfully odd they actually shot each other.
Well, it is awfully odd.
If in a control,
It is awfully odd, but what are you saying? Yes, it's odd.
Yes,
but what does that
odd.
Have to do with the chief of police?
Well, I think that there should be, and I don't know, I'll have to look at other areas, but is this, are all these shootings a case of, not all of them, obviously, many of these have been, but should there be something when someone comes out with a gun, is there a certain specific thing?
Yes, you
so
shoot
you're
them.
Just not all shooting?
You shoot them. No, you shoot them. That's what you do. If somebody comes out with a gun and you shoot them, if you're a cop, because that's what cops are for.
But you miss and hit another police officer
that's just next to you? That's just weird, though. That's just, I admit, that's strange. But I would hardly call that the chief of police's fault.
No, and I don't know what the issue is. I know that the department voted in a vote of no confidence. And
well, I understand
when the
that.
Officers do that, there's usually problems in a department.
Okay, but this shouldn't be what should be the problem in the department. I don't think this is really why they had a no confidence vote. Matter of fact, they had a no confidence vote back in February. Well, that's before any of this stuff happened. So they obviously didn't like the chief back then for whatever reason, and that's legitimate. If a police association says, we don't like our guy, We need somebody new. I think that's totally legitimate, but I'm talking about specifically, the fact that all of a sudden this question arises because there's been these shootings in Santa Maria, but in every case there's been somebody with a gun. So that's not an issue to me. Something else may be an issue in Santa Maria, but that's not the issue to me.
And some of the things that people said with Officer Carrabas, who obviously, that was deemed okay, but should they have waited till he didn't have a gun before they talked to him? Should they have waited till he was done and in his civilian clothes?
Well, the concern was, this is what I gather from everything I've heard, without them actually, I don't think anybody's actually said this, but from reading between the lines, what they were concerned was is he was going to get off duty and still be with this young girl and do some canoodling again. And so they were aware of the fact that he had already had sex with this young girl, this cadet, and that because she was a minor, they felt compelled to protect her.
That part I don't know if that's true because they'd already. She wasn't with him at the time.
Yes, she was.
She was at the thing when this happened because I thought they had her talking to them. And what they claimed their reason for shooting him was that they thought he was suicidal, not that he was going to go have sex with her. It was that they thought he might hurt himself. Because when she was talking to him on the phone, if you read the phone transcripts, when she was talking to him on the phone, he was saying, you know, he was sounding desperate. So
oh,
their
I see.
Idea
okay.
was
All
that
right.
he would hurt
I
himself
okay.
after work.
Well, here's the interesting thing. He did.
Yeah.
And it could have been, you know, if he fired his weapon and didn't manage to hit anybody, and he's a cop, you know, this could very well have been death by cop. Do you know what I mean? He could have been so ashamed of what happened, you know, because he wasn't married that long.
No.
And this happened. So I believe that it could have just been him saying, I gotta give up. I got to quit. You know, so they were right. He might have been suicidal, but they aided and abetted his suicide, in my opinion. So that was a strange case. Now, we had another thing here. That this involves the police in San Luis Obispo, but in a very odd way. A guy goes drinking and early in the day and into noontime, which is not a usual thing, you know. But if you've ever looked in McCarthy's, you'll know that that happens. And so he comes out to his car, and he finds a known homeless guy, not known to him, but a homeless guy he thinks is unconscious in his car. So he gets in the car, and I'm not sure if he was just going to take him to the hospital, but then he realizes he's dead.
Well,
did he
hospital,
realize he's dead, or
no,
the hospital realized
no,
he's dead?
No, he said he tried to resuscitate the man, then drove him to French, where he was told he was dead. French hospital staff then said, you need to wait here while the police come.
Right.
And he quickly took off.
Now, KSBY, they asked the guy on the street, what would you have done? You know, the guy says, I would have called the police and all that. I would have tried to sell his organs. Yeah, I would. That's just my way of looking at life. But anyway, very strange. Obviously a very strange thing. And so the police say, well, they don't really suspect the guy of doing anything to the homeless man. He, you know, the guy just died, but it's kind of weird that he took off, you know. But I don't know. Maybe he just was like, you know, who needs this? I had nothing to do with this. Plus the fact that it might not have been good for him that he was drinking, you know, in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly why he took off, but they were able to find him through cameras. And 3 or 4 hours later, he was taken to the police department. But they also think there was no foul play in this death. So,
right.
But it's pretty sad that homeless people are crawling into cars to die.
How sad is that?
Yeah. That's the other.
I'll agree with that for sure. All right.
But I would not want to find someone in my car either.
Now, here's something we have going on that's a weird thing to me, and that I don't know why everybody gets in this big to-do about it. You know, you take let's start with Mitt Romney and everybody that's demanding for all of his tax returns, you know, because somebody supposedly at Bain Capital told somebody else that he hadn't paid taxes in 10 years. The guy's a mazillionaire, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It, you know, whatever the guy gets away with, he gets away with it legally, and that's. And if the guy has more than, you know, $250 million, who cares? What difference does it make? So now we have this thing between Lois Capps and Abel Maldonado. Abel Maldonado, of course, in the middle of this tax mayhem with his family, with the IRS, and now Lois Capps, it looks like, had some kind of a rental thing that she didn't declare.
Yes, from 2001 through 2005, and part of the time, I think like 2 years, the guy that was renting from her, renting a room, actually was worked for her. He then ended up working for somebody else during the bulk of the stay. And then he had at some point moved out. She still, I think she has it rented to someone from Cottage Hospital right now, a nurse. But this has been a regular place she's rented. It didn't change the, you know, she rented it to him for the same thing she rents it to everybody else. So it wasn't a... there's some that are trying to say, okay, she benefited from her job. She's rented this place out for years without a problem. But the issue is she did not claim it from 2001 to 2005. Her accountant in 2006 started claiming it correctly. When she was posting her returns online, she found it. And at that point, she did an amended return on her own. The IRS did not find it. The other side did not find it. She found it, amended her return, and paid about $8,000 in back taxes for not claiming, I think, about $45,000 for that rental unit. So it's, but it was something she found. But then some others found it and tried to claim like a fraud. But I think it's a little bit of a stretch since she found it herself, and the reason others could find it is because she did an amended return
right.
and then posted the amended return. So she wasn't trying to hide. hey, I just amended these four returns.
She no, but here's the other thing. And the other thing, too, is, of course, is that, you know, part of that then becomes, I guess, is like, you know, you got to show your income. And I guess then because she didn't realize that. And here's the other thing, too. If can I say something? I have my taxes done by somebody because I don't understand any of that stuff. I don't get it, you know. So when he's done and says, here, sign this, I sign it. I put it away, you know, and if the IRS ever calls me, I got to call him and say, okay, well, here we go. I don't know how to understand taxes.
And I asked that. Lois Capps did have somebody doing her taxes, and what I was told, she did tell them about the rental, and it didn't end up on there. Okay. I don't know the extent of that, or I don't know if she told them, but, you know, she said she... I was asking, I said, did she have someone do the taxes? Yes, did she disclose? Well, we think she did. We're not, you know, but it's not a big thing. We put it in now. It wasn't done correctly. But, yeah, if you have someone do your taxes, you can end up with an issue if they leave something out.
My tax man's last name is Torba, so I call it Torba Tax.
Torba Tax.
So that's how I have my taxes done. All right, so anyway, so let's see if we can nitpick something else. Now, actually, this is interesting and very, and I have to tell you, I was very disappointed, to tell you the truth, but everybody has a right to their own opinion, and this is this Chick-fil-A demonstration where everybody said, okay, we're going to support the guy that's the president because he believes in, he's against gay marriage. So everybody comes out and buys a chicken sandwich, which I guess does something. Anyway, so now there's a protest today, an anti-protest protest, and so the gays are going to get together at the Chick-fil-A's and have a kiss-in.
Yes.
Which is interesting. And then, and I didn't know until just a couple of weeks ago, Nancy and I were touring the campus over there because we had some business, and then we thought, well, we'll just drive around a bit. And so we were up at the Village there, the housing, and there's a Chick-fil-A, which I had never seen before. I didn't know how to pronounce it. And so now there's the question is Cal Poly actually behaving in a diversified way by having Chick-fil-A as part of what's there?
And, you know, they, I think they own the, don't they own the franchise?
Whom?
The foundation, I think. I think Cal Poly owns the franchise there. So I don't know if this is something they'll
oh, I see. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
It is interesting. I did try to call someone at Cal Poly to ask them questions. Didn't receive a call back yet. To ask them, you know, are you making any plans? And that's the other issue. What is Cal Poly going to do? Because diversity is very important to Cal Poly. There's a number of departments at Cal Poly that have lost accreditation. I know the journalism department has had trouble with accreditation for years, with one of the primary reasons being a lack of diversity in the department. I'll tell you, you walk into a journalism room, and it's a group of white females and maybe two guys,
yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very female-oriented and very white. There are some others, but, you know, it's surprisingly white and female.
You know, it was really, and this is interesting about San Luis Obispo before we take our break, and we got to take a break, but here's the thing that's actually quite fascinating to me. You know, years ago, the FCC really cracked down on broadcast stations, radio and TV, and said, you have got to try harder to get more minorities, you know, because you live in an area where there just aren't any. I mean, there's not a significant number to where. I think the TV station, forget how it was, but you had to have, for what the percentage of blacks was in San Luis Obispo County, you had to have almost 200 employees or something in order to say, okay, you're supposed to have a black person. Now, what was weird was we did have black people working for the radio station, but the interesting thing was because we had to show that we were actively trying to recruit different people, Hispanics and blacks especially,
yeah.
I had to advertise in minority campus newspapers where they had large minorities. I had to advertise like in Illinois, and I had to advertise in Atlanta, Georgia. And I actually had to do that to show that I was trying. Now, you have a job that pays, you know, $800 a month, and you're going to get somebody from Atlanta, Georgia coming out here? I don't think. But anyway, that's what it was like. So it was very, very weird. So, you know, and Cal Poly has actively tried, I know, because I don't know if they still have somebody. I can't think of his name. I tried to think of it the other day. But they had a man that was there whose job it was to try to recruit blacks, you know, into Cal Poly. And I can't think of his name. But it was a long time ago. It was back in the early 80s. But they were trying. You know, I mean, they said, you know, we have to try to somehow do better than we're doing. you know, but, you know, it's, Cal Poly is still a large sea of white.
It is. It is. And this,
well, San Luis Obispo is.
And this issue here is very disturbing to some people in the Gala community. But and they are, you know, I've had several calls from the members telling me, you know, that this is very, very concerning to them. And the also the teens. I guess they're going to have some of the, there's a Gala teen group. And they say that, you know, it's hard enough to be a gay teen in school, but then to see something like this going on is hard on the
sure it is. And the other thing that's interesting is that do we know if there was a lot of participants in the Chick-fil-A thing at Cal Poly?
I had talked to some people that said that I don't know exactly how many, but they said there were people there. I'm going to go over this afternoon to the to watch the kissing.
Okay. Well, I was thinking was this. I think that as I said yesterday on the air, you know, I think it's sad. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I think it's sad. And so somebody wrote a letter and said, well, we're tired. I'm tired of this political correctness stuff, you know. And to acknowledge gays as gays and to call it politically correct is really off the wall as far as I'm concerned, you know. And I said, if you were heterosexual, would you choose to be gay? Why do people think that gays choose to be gay? You know what I mean? I mean, it makes no sense. We've gone past that, and we know that people are born gay, and that's the way it works. And so this idea of continuing this bigotry, you know, sexual bigotry against the gays, it makes no sense to me anymore.
No.
I mean, I admit, you know, when you were in the military back in the 60s, which I was, you know, it was homophobic for sure. You know, that's the way life was. But you eventually grow up and you begin to realize how life actually works. So I think I feel very bad for the Gala people for having had to be exposed to this many people saying we think you're full of it, you know, and your marriage idea is bad, and the whole thing. I think that's really sad.
I don't think it's a large part of the population, though. I really don't.
I don't know, but there's a long lines of people. I mean, there was a lot of people. I mean, I'm not saying whether. The other thing, too, is I don't know what, I have no idea what percentage of people actually at this point, I don't have a recent number, you know, support gay marriage. But, of course, everybody in the whole wide world that doesn't isn't going to get in line at Chick-fil-A. you may say, I can pass on that. We're going to pass over here and have a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Hello, Bill Senna's Insurance Services. How may I help you?
My mother-in-law just moved in, and I think she slipped a cog in her wheel, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's 89 years old and still insists on driving her car, cooks and leaves the oven on, and her medical bills are through the roof. Can you help?
Of course we can help. Bill Senna's Insurance is a full-service insurance agency and has been in business for over 20 years, offering top insurance carriers, giving you only the best protection for the whole family. Medical, dental, home, auto, business, long-term care, life insurance, and even Medicare prescription drug plans for your mother-in-law.
So you're a one-stop shop for all my insurance needs?
Yes, we are. Bill Senna's Insurance gives you peace of mind.
So we're covered if she burns the house down?
Absolutely. And Bill Senna's Insurance Service never charges a fee for our service. And we'll find the right policy for you.
Good. Because I want to live life large and fully charged.
Bill Senna's Insurance is on East Grand Avenue in Dollar Store Center in Arroyo Grande, or call 489-HELP. That's 489-HELP.
Yeah, I didn't tell you. I'm finally letting John take me out to lunch. I know he's not my type. I just hope he doesn't take me to some place I've ate a million times. Oh, shoot, here he comes. Talk to you later.
Hey there, you ready for lunch?
Sure, where are we going?
I've been dying to try Slow Brew for lunch.
Okay.
If the same old thing for lunch over and over and over is driving you crazy, stop the madness and try something new at Slow Brew. Affordable, delicious food, great ambiance. It's Slow Brew, downtown Slow, with $3 tacos, your choice of steak, chicken, or Alaskan cod. Vegetarians, try their Peace and Love vegan hummus platter. And all of Slow Brew's salads, burgers, and sandwiches can be ordered in either full or half-size portions. Even their most popular, the Thai Ahi Salad. Loosen up your day a little bit by adding one of Slow Brew's award-winning microbrews to your lunch. It's Slow Brew, serving lunch Tuesday through Sunday at 1119 Garden Street, downtown Slow.
I don't know about a new guy, but I definitely have a new lunch spot. Slow Brew.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers Agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
Karen Vealey, Bill Benica, and Karen from, of course, CalCoastNews.com, Bill Benica from KYNS, your news station. And we're talking about our weekend review of what's been going on around around our area. And we have we had a really rather unpleasant little tale that to be told today on CalCoastNews.com. You can look it up. But apparently J.P. Morgan Chase has found an old couple, put them on a list of go after them, even though they have nothing to go after them for, and they're saying that they are somehow late on their mortgage, and the old couple claims they have never been late on the mortgage. But anyway, you go ahead and tell what's been happening.
This couple in Shell Beach, they buy a house in 05 with one bank, and as you know, it's often been the case, the mortgage is taken over by J.P. Morgan Chase, or Morgan Chase. But anyway, this poor couple, suddenly in about 2009. They start getting call after call after call, a minimum of 75 collection calls a week, often telling them, you know, you're going to get foreclosed on, you need to start making your payment on time, or just reminding them, make your payment on time this month. And it's the point where they're not even comfortable answering their phone, plus a barrage of mail. So this is going on, and they get just pretty fed up, so they go to the Pismo Beach Police Department, ask for help. Then they go to the Attorney General's office. They go to the Comptroller of the Comp, and they finally then go to the District Attorney, who suggests a cease and desist order. They send a cease and desist order over in December 2010. Within weeks, the bank responds back that they'll stop. But they don't stop. They just continue to send to make the phone calls. They then call. According to the couple. Now, the bank is claiming they weren't making as many as the couple's claiming. There were less phone calls made.
But here's the thing. Is it confirmed in any way? Is there any way to confirm the fact that they weren't behind on payments? I mean, how do we know that?
At this point, it's something the couple is saying. I'm sure it'll come out in the court case because there is a lawsuit. And J.P. Morgan has been hit with another lawsuit. I think it was a very big payout on an elderly couple that they were also contended that they did elder abuse. By the way, they were treating another older couple. So this isn't the first J.P. Morgan case And I can't remember the number off my hand. You could probably find it. If you go to the story in Calco's News and hit on the Huffington Post link, they give the number in their story about how much. The Huffington Post also covered the story regarding the couple here in town, in our area. They don't mention they're in our, in Shell Beach, but that's where the couple is from.
James McKiernan has taken a case that wants a jury trial with punitive damages, civil penalties, attorney's fees, and court costs.
But this shouldn't be allowed. This should absolutely not be allowed. You shouldn't be over 65 and sitting there answering the phone every day to somebody telling you you're behind, and you should be able to say I'm not. They also then had a cease and desist from the controller of the currency. And it was, again, it's dropped since they've started, filing things and getting the control of the comp. But it's down to, there's been no less, according to the couple, than 15 calls a week. So they have stopped the 75 calls a week, but they're still not able to get under control. Now, what I've been told is often they'll farm these things out. They'll put on a list, this couple's behind, and all these collection groups jump on board trying to get hold of this group.
So here's what it said in the Huffington Post. This is the second time in a month that J.P. Morgan has been accused of mistreating its elderly customers. In Louisiana, a man with Alzheimer's sued the bank after his legal guardian claimed that a J.P. Morgan employee stole more than $100,000 from the elderly man. Of course, J.P. Morgan Chase isn't the first bank to take heat over wrongful harassing of customers. Bank of America allegedly called one family more than 400 times, demanding they pay a debt that had already been settled. According to America Online Daily Finance, and B of A also allegedly threatened a quadriplegic man with foreclosure and eviction over a 10-year period. Other than that, it's a great place to do your banking.
But there are rules. And if you look at the law, you can find the lawsuit on Cal Coast News. Read through the lawsuit. There are a lot of laws to protect consumers. This is actually not legal, what the banks are doing.
Well, I can understand that. So it's a... As if the banks, you would think the banks would sort of say, we've really put people in a lot of very difficult situations. They were part of it, but we've gone through a very bad time, and maybe we could make a better name for ourselves somehow. But apparently, that's not a goal of any kind.
No.
Okay. Well, we know that now. All right. What else do we want to talk about that's happened? There was the strange story about the sheriff's deputy that was accused of beating the Pomo man. And, if he tasered him, he was going 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. And so they get out of their car at a friend's house, and a cop tells him to stop and tasers him and then whaps him with his club a number of times and then zaps him again with the taser. And so nobody's arrested in the whole thing. And the incident, I guess the sister's was his wife's brother.
Yeah.
Got involved in some way, I suppose. But I guess a group of people stood around going, "What the heck's going on?"
Well, I spoke to Al Brill, who said he had watched it a little bit, and he had called me to say this was absolutely out of control. They went in, and he had his girlfriend and her 7-year-old son in the car, and they had walked in to talk to a friend. And they ended up handcuffing the girlfriend, the friend in the house, and the person in the car. And, again, the crime was going 15 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Now, here's the thing that I know you're not going to get any information from the sheriff's department, so I don't know how to ask you this. But so was Hurl put on as no longer with the sheriff's department because of this incident or something else?
I would think it's this, but there's another thing here. He was brought in by Ian Parkinson a little bit less than a year ago. And departments always have these periods. What do you call it?
Probation.
Yeah, probationary period. I would gather he's still on his probationary period, and that was probably what was going on. But he's a new hire.
Well, we don't know anything about him. We don't know where he came from or anything.
Don't know much about him at all.
I noticed in the paper today, Pastor Robles is looking for a cop in case he needs a job.
I've noticed that a lot of times that's what happens. They'll move from L.A. and then they'll go into Pismo and then they'll head over to Morro Bay. It's like a stream of officers that don't make it through the period until someone finally decides they want them.
It's not an easy job, I got to admit that. So there you are. Other things that are happening. We have a number of people are. We have more than Steve Barash that's running for mayor right now against Jan Marks.
Yes, we have Steve Barash. We have Oren Levy, and he did call me. And you know, one of his he wants to run. He's a musician. He's an electrical engineer, and he was a musician. He lived in Atlanta in the South. And moved here back, I think, in February. He wants to run on a platform of making Cal Poly more important to the community and trying to bring in jobs for Cal Poly students so they can stay in the area, and also of looking for some way to keep the homeless out of downtown. Those are his two big priorities in running. We also then have Don Hendrick, who has run 3 years in a row. Then we have Jan Marks running for her seat, and we have Steve Barash. And remember, the city has been under an investigation that has not ended yet. And I'm wondering if this is it was allegations that the spill, there was some chemicals spilled in a wetlands area, and that the city didn't properly report it. And so there were criminal investigators from the state that came down, and the case is not over yet. And I'm wondering if that comes out before the election, could that have a bearing on what happens? Barash is running on a case of more fiscal responsibility for the city. He's pointed out, for example, he's looking at the over 200 properties the city owns, and the amount of maintenance for the city, and saying, why is it costing this much to run San Luis Obispo? Why are they having properties they're not keeping up? Why don't they sell the properties? Why don't they do this with the properties? He's wanting to look at it as a more of a fiscal responsible area. Those are the main ones. And also, Kevin Rice, who I personally don't think he's going to run. He had told me that he had thought about it, but I don't think he's going to actually run. But he also drew papers.
Now, another thing that happened that was really just off the wall this week was this guy in Paso Robles that called the Walmart in Arroyo Grande and said there was a bomb. Now, he had apparently, he is somebody that's probably should be looked at by somebody. You know what I'm saying? He should be undergo the funny inkblot tests and whatnot. Because he heard of other incidents of this happening in the Midwest and decided, I don't know if he thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to do that, or who can know what the guy was thinking. But anyway, the cops tracked his phone number down and tracked him down, and they got him.
If you're going to do something, wouldn't you go get a throwaway? I mean, I'm not saying what to do, but it seems that it's awfully odd to call from your cell number.
Well, I think he's awfully odd, and you know they've gotten rid of all the payphones, which is the bummer. You know, you can't, there's no payphones. I don't know what Superman would do today. I don't know where he'd change his clothes.
And you know, I bet he blocked the number to the star 69, because I know they had to go through AT&T and do a search. So they were probably able to do a search through AT&T and find this blocked number and get the regular number to it. He probably thought he was being
outsmarting him. Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about this as a fact that anybody that thinks anything they do that has to do with electronic communication in this day and age, be it computers, be it smartphones, be it iPads, be it, I don't care what it is, anything you're doing, somebody knows that you're doing it.
Yeah.
And there's a record of you, an electronic record of you doing it. And so you might as well know that, you know, going in that, you know, if you expect privacy, you know, if you think, well, I'll just go on my iPad here and I'll look up something on Google and I'm the only one that'll know that. No, that's not true. The world knows.
Cal Coast News is so going to we're having this weird little assault, and it's a lot of technical things, you know, starting in right after the election for, you know, the July election. We started having, you know, calls and emails to our advertisers, but also a lot of just odd blog posts and blogs all over. And the new thing they're doing is putting out places I think I'm going to be and telling people to go by and confront me, which, you know, I've talked to law enforcement. That actually goes to cyber stalking, and that's actually a crime. And so we are, I've done a case with law enforcement. They're going to be looking for, search warrants to these agencies to get the IP addresses. But to me, it's just odd that they would, instead of slowing down after I made it public, they actually became almost more aggressive. We've had Dan's Facebook account was hacked. My Gmail account was hacked three or four days ago. I wake up and there's a big red banner across my Gmail account. You've been hacked. Call this. And emails from Gmail telling me to do this, 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 and this to protect my account. And Dan, 2 days before, had that. And just a whole lot of odd things. And I think people think there's no way to find out, you know, who you are. And there are actually, it's a crime now to pretend like you're somebody else. That started, 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
So they're also sending these letters to the editor, like the San Francisco Chronicle, claiming it's me. And then I get these emails from the Chronicle. We're looking at your opinion piece to put in the paper, and we're going to call the phone number you sent us. And it's like, oh, geez. So I keep having to call them and tell them, not mine. Leave it out of the paper. I did not submit an opinion piece to you. And they're somehow using my Gmail account address and sending these opinion pieces over. But it is very odd because I think people think they're invincible and they don't realize there are ways to trace some of these things. But it's frustrating.
And you're doing that, are you not? I mean, we're in the process of saying, okay, let's find out who's doing this crazy stuff. Now, here's what gets weirder, though. It's one thing to put erroneous information out there in odd places and all that. It's another thing to hack into your account. I mean, that's if you hack into someone's account of any kind, that's illegal. I mean, obviously, it must be illegal.
Yes, hacking's illegal, and also pretend like you're someone else is illegal, and telling people to go after somebody at addresses is illegal. So there's a lot of this is just civil, and I've talked to attorneys, but some of this is actually getting to the point of illegal activity. And I don't know exactly who's doing it. I want to say that right now. I don't know exactly who is behind it at all.
But we may find out.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully we will.
Fairly soon.
Anyway, just crazy. Last thing we could get to real quick is Cersei wants to be back on the Oceano board. What is it about these water boards that everybody is fascinated with that wants to do it? Why is that? What don't I know about being on a water board? Do they have, like, great parties or something?
It's wild meetings, I'll tell you. And, you know, and at the Oceano Service District Board, though, it does have kind of a colorful character. You have Mary Lucy was in prison also. She spent a stint in prison, I think, for some type of drug dealing or use or something. And so she's one of the board members, and she's running again. Then you had Searcy, who was on the board, and he had been convicted in the past of some prostitution sting arrest. And then he stepped down 2 months ago when he had a DUI accident that shut down the freeway going one way for over an hour, completely shut it down. And he stepped down, and he's pulled papers to re-go after the seat that he just stepped down from. No, I'm kind of surprised, but the Oceano district is a little different than most. Anyway, yeah, they kind of do things their way.
It kind of seems like they do. anyway, it's a fools and felons party down there. Anyway, very strange. It's very strange, but people seem to want to be involved in it. I just don't understand why exactly to that extent, but okay. Anyway, that's what we have for CalCoastNews.com this week. Don't forget, you can go to CalCoastNews.com 24/7, find out what's going on in our community. You can click on Talk is Cheap in the upper right-hand corner, listen to KUNS streaming all day. And we have podcasts there also you can listen to. And I thank Karen for coming in today.
Thank you.
All right, madam. Thank you.
I am a mountain. I am a tall tree. Oh, I am a swift wind sweeping the country. I am a river down in the valley. Oh, I am a vision and I can see clearly. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky, I'm that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest. A giant, I am an eagle, oh, I am a lion, down in the jungle, I am a Majin band, I am the people, oh, I am a helping hand, I am a hero, if anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's up against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
In the ring of life, I'll rain love,
I will rain,
and the world will notice I can't.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
Jim D's here, and that's great news always, and we're going to have Jim here from the Palm Theater, and we're going to do a Palm movie time and other stuff we're going to talk about. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Bill. Great to be back after my...
Tell me about your little visit to Maine there. What was that like?
Oh, it was fabulous.
Did you get to see the Maine Ocean? Did you see the Atlantic Ocean at some point?
Eventually. When I drove down to a good friend in Connecticut, okay. And then I was over in upstate New York, and then I joined my wife, Patty, in West Virginia, who was at a steel drum workshop where she's in heaven. And the whole thing was fabulous. Although, I will say... 95 degrees with 100% humidity. I learned a new word back east. It was soupy. I go, somebody said, it's soupy out.
I go, that's right. It's soupy, yeah.
And I said, what? You know, well, you know, it's 95 degrees and 100% humidity. It's soupy.
Go back to your, you have to go back to your Jersey roots.
The good part about all this is I did have pangs of nostalgia because I did grow up in New Jersey, and that's kind of the way it was. But, I mean, this was pretty, you know, they were talking about not being rare temperatures with that much humidity. What is rare is when it lasts for a week.
Well, you know, I told you when you and I were talking about you going, and I said I went to Maine here about 5 years ago, and this is before I thought global warming really hit, but I was in a place that I had every year of my life when I was young. I was there till I was 14 years old, 15 years old. I was there every summer and spent the whole summer in this part of Maine. And it was always, you know, the 70s was nice. If you got in the 70s, you know, it was always in a lot of times it was foggy and in the 60s, but, you know, 70s was good. Mm-hmm. Low 70s. We went, and for an entire week, you know, it never got below 80 degrees.
And tough, high humidity.
Yeah, and high humidity. It was like I'm in the right place, but there's something wrong. The weather's all wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird to me. It was just I had never experienced that kind of heat ever. I didn't experience one day of that kind of heat. So
yeah.
It was really strange.
Yeah,
very strange.
Quite oppressive, even with, you know, T-shirt, shorts, and sandals. I mean, you kind of, you know, I went to a good friend who in Waterville, Maine, who has a theater like The Palm, and they host the Maine International Film Festival. And I had to go inside. The, you know, air conditioning was kind of
a requirement.
So, but, it was okay, but, I mean, it's different.
Oh, interesting.
I come home here to San Luis Obispo, I go, boy, the air is thin and definitely not soupy.
Not soupy, yeah, really. That's exactly right. Anyway, that's fun. Where were you in upstate New York?
I visited Rhinebeck and nearby Woodstock. There was another town. They have a longtime friends who have theaters like The Palm, and I finally got to see their theaters. So
a lot of fun.
It was great.
That is fun. I got a sister that lives way, way up in on Lake Champlain, and she's it's not like part of it. Really, Canada is what it is. she speaks French now and everything. You can't tell anything. All right, we're going to talk about the different things that are going on in the movies. We can talk about, here's the new ones out. And I don't know why. Why wouldn't you just do a different movie, give it a different title, and have it be a different movie with a different title with Total Recall?
Yeah.
Why bother calling it Total Recall and then have it be a half-baked version of what Arnold Schwarzenegger did?
You know, good question. I always think of a film like this remake of Total Recall, and the preview looks like it's got great special effects, and I like Colin Farrell,
yeah,
who is a great actor and everything. But again, well, let's go back to before this movie was even thought of. Somebody goes into an office. I mean, you know the film The Player with Tim Robbins where Buck Henry comes in and pitches the idea of like The Graduate 2, something like that. And here's somebody who went to the studio and said, hey, let's remake this film that used to have Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've got this star attached. I mean, who is the one who
greenlights this thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's do it. I don't get it.
So, you know, I mean, it looks kind of good, but actually to me, the summer blockbuster season is over. There's another Bourne whatever.
And that's going to star the guy that was in The Hurt Locker.
Yeah, doesn't that Matt?
Jeremy something?
Yeah, he's kind of on a roll. He was in The Avengers.
And actually, you know what? I thought that was a pretty good choice to pick him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got the right kind of Matt Damon look and attitude and action and all that kind of thing. But it's supposed to be, even though it's called The Bourne whatever, Reloaded, a different person, of course, you know, that has some other, they mess with his genes or something. I don't know.
Well, the other ones were pretty action-packed, but again, they're trying to stretch out this franchise. Now, I will say, there's a preview online of the next James Bond film. And the Queen isn't in it. I thought one of the funniest things of the Olympics was the Queen parachuting in with James Bond. That was genius. But check out the preview for the next James Bond. I think it's called Skyfall. Holy mackerel. It looks pretty amazing.
Really?
So, check it out. I think it comes out in November. And, you know, sort of like how can you top the James Bond franchise well. Take a look at this preview. I mean,
and this is with Daniel Craig?
Yes. And he's a great James Bond,
I think.
He's
a very good James Bond. And you know what? When you mentioned, we were talking about the Bourne series, I really like the Bourne series.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that I thought the second one was better than the first one. I thought the third one was better than the second one. I mean, they just descended in the plot, the screenplay, the whole thing. Everything got better and better and better and better, I thought, as it went along, which is really cool when that happens.
Well, you know, it's so interesting you say that, because we didn't talk before today.
No, ma'am.
When I was driving out here, I thought about the new Batman film, which I haven't seen. But, you know, it's already made over $300 million. I'm sure it'll top out at about $400 million. But is anybody really talking about it? Hey, did you see the new Batman? I don't hear anybody talking about it at all. And I always thought, put three to next to the film. This is the third Batman done by Christopher Nolan.
Right.
But think of The Godfather 3. Nobody liked that one. Think of Superman 3. Nobody liked that one. So Matrix.
Or 4, 5, 6,
or four,
and
five,
7.
Six. But, you know, I mean, just the fact that the Bourne series got better with each one, it's great. And it seems like, you know, the James Bond series just, they don't put numbers, but it's about, what, 25 movies now?
Rocky didn't even need to have Rocky 2. You know, to be very honest, I mean, we didn't have to have Rocky 2, 3, yeah. 5, and 10.
Yeah. Well, there's my case.
Yeah.
You know, the sequel situation, I think they like to look at any so-called property and stretch it out. Hey, if they got a good franchise, they're gonna capitalize on it. But, you know, once you get past 2 and, well, 3, 4, boy, you got to do something. Or just, hey, think of a new idea. What a thought.
Well, and here's the thing. And when you say this James Bond trailer looks really great,
ooh,
and to think of how long that has gone on since I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when the first James Bond movie came out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was a long time ago.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, but again, you think how much more can they take it? And again, I watched this preview. I ask all your listeners, if you're into James Bond, turn on your computer, find the new James Bond trailer. I think it'll get you into the theater in November.
Interesting. And you're right. I haven't ever had anybody say to me, I went and saw the new Batman movie and I really liked it or I hated it or anything. I haven't had a single person say to me they've been to that movie.
Yeah, I mean, we could have that dark cloud over what happened in Colorado.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, on the other hand, it just doesn't seem to be. It's gotten pretty good, great reviews, but, you know, it doesn't seem to be the must-see movie.
But you know what? And here the last Batman movie was. You know, it was a lot of talk, and especially because Heath Ledger just shined in it, you know.
Yeah.
And I always say, I don't understand why he wasn't the best actor, and Batman was the runner-up, or what do you call it, best supporting actor, because actually the whole thing was him. And but he was so incredible, and it was such a... It went from the campy stuff that was done with the Penguin, you know, and Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Freeze guy and all that stuff,
mm-hmm,
and the Joker when the Joker was Jack Nicholson. It went from all that campy camp stuff to being really a great dramatic movie.
Yeah, or a villain that really scared the daylights out of you.
Yeah, a villain that was definitely not right, you know, on the head. So,
yeah,
I thought it was very well done.
Yes, I agree.
All right, what else is out there coming up? What else is coming up?
You know, right now we're sort of on the downslope of summer. I really think all the big blockbusters have hit. I think, like you said, Total Recall and The Bourne, whatever it is this time. I can't see anything really big. I think the summer is pretty much done for at least the blockbuster stuff. We're doing great at the Palm, by the way. But
okay, we're going to talk about the movies at the Palm, too, here in a little bit. But, you know, another thing that's really weird, and this doesn't have to do with the movies. Is it okay if we go to the small screen for a second?
Oh.
Holy dump truck. I mean, you have so many talk shows now, and now they're going to put Ricky Lake back on. They're going to put Jeff Probst back on for a first time. They're going to put – there's another – and I forgive me for not remembering the other
Katie,
one.
Katie Couric, I think is going to have something.
Yeah, Katie Couric's going to have one. At some point, there has to be a saturation of – you know, everybody can't succeed doing talk shows in the afternoon. They just can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you're going to like somebody and say, okay, that's the one I'll watch. And, you know, and Ellen, I guess Ellen DeGeneres, she's done real well.
Yeah, she sort of took the time slot that Oprah had, which is kind of...
And she sort of got the audience, too. She, mm-hmm, you know, she's different than Oprah, but, you know, she gives away, you know, half the world every time she's on the air, so that kind of works.
And she dances.
And she dances, you know. And not that well, really. I always thought, you know, you could take a lesson. And then you could actually kind of be, you know, not, you could actually dance like people dance today. But
well, she gets the audience going.
She gets
I think.
The audience going. They like
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
and that's good. That's good right there.
Okay.
J.C. Penney. This is in, you know, J.C. Penney. Of course, used her as a spokeswoman, and then there was all this controversy. You know, she's gay. You know, is that, and J.C. Penney says, "No, we stand behind this woman. You know, people like her." And I thought that was a good decision. Unfortunately, J.C. Penney's is not doing well, but not because of Ellen DeGeneres. J.C. Penney's is just, you know, they tried to do this thing where every day was going to be a sale day, so they weren't going to have any sales anymore. And that petered out. That didn't work. Although, you know what's interesting I've noticed? I can't remember ever seeing a Walmart ad. Not on TV. I'm talking about like a newspaper. You know how in newspapers every Sunday everybody's got a flyer in there and all that? I don't think I've ever seen Walmart advertised in the paper.
Well, I guess their claim to fame is the low prices, and so a sale is almost irrelevant, I guess.
Yeah, I would assume.
I guess.
So. Although I have to, I don't know. If I the price of jeans being what they are today, I might be a Walmart shopper at some point here. I'll tell you what. Let's see what they get for a pair of jeans. And I got my shoes. I'm so happy I got my Clarks on right now. All right, let's talk about what's going on. We're going to you're right. There's another big blockbusters coming up. We've kind of sorted through. Let me check real quick here, make sure we haven't missed something we should talk about before we get to Palm Theater.
You know, I should know this, but you know, Ice Age is doing well. It's been a pretty darn good summer for, you know, the mainstream commercial movies. You know, regardless of what I just said about the Batman film, I'm sure it's going to essentially make $1 billion when it's all said and done worldwide. So, but it's been pretty solid summer, I think, for the multiplexes and a good variety of stuff, and from the superhero stuff to the kid stuff. But here we are in August, and I tend to think that the films you're going to see at the multiplex are, you know, not going to be the, like, the
although
Avengers.
Here's one that I have, you know, I have my little 8-year-old, 11-year-old, and they love this Wimpy Kid Affair.
Oh, there's another one. I mean, that's the second one of those that they've made, and I guess there's a...
No, that's the third. That's
Oh, okay.
Third.
Boy, yeah. I'm out of the loop there. But, yeah, I guess that has a good enough viewership.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen, though? And this is too bad for in this particular kind of a franchise, but this is what happens when you have little... It's like when you had the E-Trade baby. You know, the E-Trade baby gets big to where it doesn't work anymore, you know, kind of a thing. And so I think this young guy that stars in this Wimpy Kid Affair, I think that's, you know, he's all of a sudden... He's a Boy Scout now, I guess, in this movie, but all of a sudden he's going to be too old. It's going to be like Macaulay Culkin, and hopefully he won't become a heroin addict and everything else, but you never know.
Now, I guess A Wimpy Kid is a series of books. Am I wrong?
No, I think it is a series of books.
And what's kind of great there is young people are reading. I mean, you look at The Hunger Games. They'll have two more Hunger Games, apparently. And then, of course, the Harry Potter series has kids reading. It's great.
Yeah, and The Hunger Games, there were 3 books of The Hunger Games, so I guess they're going to do the other 2. Now, the only thing I'm disappointed in, I have to tell you the truth, you know, I guess it's inevitable it's going to happen. The Hunger Games did so well in the movies and the theater that now there's a spin-off thing that's going to be on, I don't know if you've seen it advertised on TV, called, I forget, All the Lights Go Out, and it's, you know, people are trying to survive.
That's right. I saw a preview to that.
Well, here's the thing. Excuse me. You mean to tell me that the only thing you can find to defend yourself with is a sword or a bow and arrow? Come on. Come on. You know, the lights go out tomorrow. You don't think you can stumble around someplace in the daytime and find something besides a bow and arrow?
Well, to me, the end of the world, apocalyptic, zombie thing is so played out. I guess I just think, oh, hey, the end of the world is going to happen. Oh, really? You know, oh, we're going to go through this one again. So, I mean, either you have to completely reinvent it or, hey, how about something new?
That's funny. That is funny. Anyway, so okay. They said at the Olympics, one of the most watched things has been the archery.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And you know, I have to just tell you this. I have a good friend of mine, and his daughter is just going into high school. And we were sort of talking about how the education system in this country is kind of not the greatest. And he remembered when he was going to high school, and this would have been in the 60s, where archery was an offering in high school. And I did remember you could do that. It was a sport. And it's very interesting that they're watching at the Olympics, but there used to be a time when you were in high school where you could take archery.
Now, here's an interesting thing. When I was in junior high in Jersey, you had you could do shop and print shop. We had print shop and wood shop, or I guess that's called. And then when I moved to Pennsylvania in high school, they had, I don't remember archery, but they had a shooting team. You know, you could take shooting. Mm-hmm. And because one of the cuter girls in the school was in it, I decided I have to be involved in that and help her. Anyway, but it was interesting. But you know, I was on the shooting team, and you know, you just, it's like the professional things they do in the Olympics and stuff. You know, you just keep shooting one hole into another hole, the same hole all the time. You know, so it's actually was kind of boring, but also I could pocket some 22 ammunition and use it elsewhere. Okay, now that I've confessed all of that. And I smoked when I was young, so the problem was is they came pre-greased. You know, the bullets you use for target shooting,
They
come actually kind of pre-greased. And so then when you put them in your pocket and everything, then the tobacco would get stuck to it, and it made a big mess. It's time to take a break.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Just like the Dodgers on the field, your car is a finely tuned machine. Keep your car running Dodger smooth at Black Road Auto. You can save money on all types of car repair, foreign and domestic. With over 20 years of experience in transmission and car repair, Black Road Auto has over 15 acres of classic and hard-to-find auto parts. When you need your car repaired, transmission service, or auto parts, think of Black Road Auto. Black Road Auto, 1500 Black Road, Santa Maria, or call them at 346-2770. That's 346-2770.
Time now for your community calendar. Every Saturday through August 18th is Movies at the Mission in San Luis. And it is free. Movies start at 7 o'clock and they are family friendly. So bring your blankets and a picnic dinner and come on out to the Mission. All movies start at 7 o'clock every Saturday through August 18th. CASA of San Luis Obispo County is recruiting new volunteers to become advocates and mentors for foster children. If you would like more information, please call 541-6542 or visit slowcasa.org. Get ready for some fun. People of all ages will enjoy the entertainment at the Stone Soup Music Fair happening on Saturday, August 25th at Ramona Garden Park. If you would like more information, call 489-9091. And if you have something happening in your zip code, we want to hear about it. Calendar at RadioCentralCoast.com.
There we go, Jim D. Palm Theater time right now on KYNS 1340. And we're talking about what's going on in general. Now we're going to hit the Palm Theater because, interesting that you've been showing this movie, The Beasts of the Southern Wild, and now they're putting a trailer out on TV about it.
Yeah, they actually had the trailer on during the Olympics, and I watched it. Fox Searchlight, who is distributing it is actually giving it a little bit of a push, and it's kind of nice.
So it sounds like you have a young actress in this who I guess is just dynamite. It's like she's the Gabby Gabby gymnast of the film world.
Well, much younger. The star of Beasts of the Southern Wild was 6 years old when it was filmed. She's supposed to be a five-year-old. Her name is Hush Puppy, and this is an amazing movie. I shouldn't even go there. We're doing very well with it, and I think it's going to really keep going with great word of mouth. Extremely unique, wonderful film. It takes place off of the coast of Louisiana. It is, I can't even describe it, but let's just say the star of this movie is a six-year-old girl, and she takes your breath away. Really
wow.
Amazing. It's really a great film. Very unique. To attach the word fantasy to this is maybe stretching it for some viewers, but is really very, very interesting.
The Untouchables.
This is our big one, too. This is a film from France. Actually, it's in French. I think there's a Belgian connection, but it's based on a true story about a man, a paraplegic, who calls upon someone to take care of him. And he ends up having a man who has been in prison, and it's one of these ones where both are learning. The point about this film that I want to get across to viewers, it is about a guy in a wheelchair, but this is one of the funniest movies you'll see. It's very funny, and it really gets into, you know, taking care of each other, both learning from the experience of, you know, caretaking and kind of realizing that your life isn't over if you're in a wheelchair.
There was a story in the newspaper, I guess it was yesterday, it was in the news, that the Cuba Gooding Jr. got into some kind of a bar fight. He was down in New Orleans, and he's filming a movie about... I think it had to do with sort of the same idea about this caretaker looking back over his life or some darn thing. I don't know what it is.
Boy, I wonder if it's... I mean, they're talking about remaking this, of course, in this country, because The Untouchables is an international hit, and it's not so much taking America by storm, but, you know, in small... We're doing great with it.
It's like the girl with the dragon tattoo. And you, of course, said, I don't know why you had to do it over. You know, the original was fine. But, you know, that's what they did with that, of course. Same thing.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just... I've been fighting the battle of subtitles. People still come in, oh, is it subtitled? And, you know, they don't want to read. And to me, I'll tell this to everybody. If you have any aversion to subtitles, come in. You'll be thinking about them for maybe 5 minutes. Then you get into the flow of the film. And these days they subtitle things pretty well to the point where you aren't reading a paragraph down below. So, I mean, you can watch the movie and read the subtitles. After you've seen any subtitled movie, you don't think about them afterwards. At all. It doesn't even register that you saw a subtitled movie.
And that's interesting you say that, because I just saw something that was subtitled, and I noticed it wasn't bothering me. I don't know, maybe it's maturity or something. I don't know. There was a time when I was younger and they had a subtitled movie, I forget it. You know, who needs it?
Yeah, or just think if you saw it dubbed and you knew it was dubbed, and that makes you uneasy throughout the whole movie, I think, you know.
But well, here's the interesting thing.
Unless it's Godzilla movie.
I was going to say, go back to being dubbed. And I think we were all fascinated when we were kids to just watch Godzilla and the fact that English was coming out of these people's mouths, but they weren't.
Yeah.
They obviously weren't saying those words.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What made it so weird was it was like very much like the spaghetti westerns that Clint Eastwood did.
Exactly.
You know, exactly the same thing. He would speak English, mm-hmm. and he'd be the only guy speaking English, and everybody else would be speaking Italian.
Yeah.
And so the Godzilla movie, the same thing with Raymond Burr, was the guy speaking English and all the Japanese were speaking Japanese.
Yeah, and you could tell.
And you could tell.
Yep.
And Godzilla, we didn't know what he spoke, except fire. Fire and nasty.
But yeah, I'll just put it out there. Do not be concerned with a subtitle movie. It, you know, it's enjoyable. You won't be thinking about it. Don't look at it as a drawback.
I have another new movie coming out, starts today, called Trishna.
Yeah.
It says powerful, deep, and thrilling.
It is. I saw Trishna last year at the Toronto Film Festival, and the woman who is in it, and I'm horrible, I don't know her name. She was the beautiful woman in Slumdog Millionaire. This is a drama, and it's based on the 19th century story Tess of the D'Urbervilles. Now, it's kind of a tragic story, but to take this film or the story which is, you know, a couple hundred years old, and putting it in contemporary India, it absolutely works, because women are pretty oppressed in India. And taking this story and transplanting it to present-day India, I thought it was genius. It's a really good film. I won't pull any punches here. It is a tragedy. It's a kind of a tragic film, but it's very colorful, and it's about the journey of this woman who has a very menial task. She's marries an up-and-coming Indian man, and then it kind of goes bad.
You talk about being oppressed. You had 60 million people in India oppressed by not having power.
Holy cow, that was
Here's the weirder part of that. I don't know why we were doing news here and I now, but we are. The weirder part was they had an article today in the newspaper that said our grid is kind of shaky.
Oh, I'll bet.
Well, how great is that?
It's sort of like, how important is that? You know, we need to upgrade our infrastructure.
Now, what's interesting, though, is PG&E has been doing a whole lot of work on the have you heard these helicopters all the time out here?
Mm-hmm.
So they've been doing a lot of work on our high transmission lines. They've been using an infrared camera to travel along the lines and figure out, you know, what has to be fixed and, you know, make sure everything's okay.
Wow.
So here locally, but we're part of a California grid, of course. You know, here locally we seem to be okay, but, you know, you don't know what's going to happen somewhere else.
Well, I'm also thinking the fact that, you know, we're talking about climate change. I almost think that here on the Central Coast, you know, summer sort of shifted to, like, August, September, October. I think we're going to still see a lot of hot days, you know, coming up. The marine layer in the morning and the low clouds and fog burns off by about noon. But I tend to think in the coming months, even through into November, we're going to see some hot temperatures. I could be wrong, hopefully.
No, I think you're right, but if you really look back, we had our hot temperatures in April and May.
Yeah, we did, and then we have the usual summer, but it's stretched into August with the low clouds. But I think we're still going to get summer here on the Central Coast.
We had the second time in a couple of months, a 50-degree difference between the beach and Paso Robles.
Oh, I know. Isn't
and that's
amazing?
Only and it's and it's, as the crow flies, I looked it up to make sure before I emailed my family to say there's no way to understand this. It's 20 miles. So if you go from Morro Bay to Paso Robles, it's about 20 miles as the crow flies.
Yeah, the Cuesta Ridge, I think, blocks the ocean breezes, it gets mighty hot up there.
Boy, just amazing. So if somebody told me that you could be 20 miles away and have a 50-degree difference, I'd say.
Kind of amazing.
No, icebox. Well, it's not all that amazing because Jim D's Palm Theater has air conditioning, too. Let me just tell you that.
Yes, we do.
And and it's solar-powered, which is really cool. Has that worked out? I've never asked you how that's worked out. Is that as far as your bills and everything? Has that really worked out great?
Oh, it's absolutely great. I mean, I try to get up there and clean them off because, you know, there's dirt and dust that gets onto them. So I try to keep them nice and clean, but I've got 98 of them, and they are a godsend as far as, like, you know, you can talk about environmental issues, but then let's talk about business, you know. You got an electric bill every month, and mine is very small, and mm-hmm. I'm actually still working on ways to get it down to almost nothing. And I use quite a bit of power at the Palm, so to have that bill out, it really helps, you know, get through the slow times where you have movies that nobody's coming to see, which happens sometimes.
Well, part of what's going on at the Palm Theater is the great popcorn that the machine has to use some juice. But I don't want you to give any secrets away here, but how come your popcorn is good, so much better than everybody else's popcorn?
I haven't tasted everybody else's popcorn, but we don't use a whole lot of salt. We give that the option to the patron of how they want to salt it. And I don't know, the popcorn kettle is seasoned and, you know, it's been there for a long time. And we do have a lot of compliments on our popcorn. I think it's not a lot of salt. You know, when you go to places and it's just way too salty, well, at the Palm we don't salt it hardly at all when we pop it. And then you can put on as much salt as you want. So, and we pop it right then and there. I know that there's some theaters that have it pop somewhere else, or they pop it, you know, long before they open and put it into a warmer. Now, we always pop right before the show, so it's fresh.
All right. Whatever it is, I'm going to tell you right there.
And real butter.
It's real good. And the soda pops are good because you go to places and they're trying to stretch the old budget out there, and the soda pops are mostly carbonated water with a little coloring to them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I say, heck, how do you? You get one of those guys. So I'm just telling you, the whole thing at the Palm, they got official candy, movie-type candy. You got your bonbons and what you call your Good and Plenty's and everything, right?
Yeah, well, there again, too, we don't have, you know, this suitcase-size candy. You know, and some people just want a small bit of candy, when they're not the big, gigantic stuff.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. Palm Theater on Palm, across from the Palm parking garage. So and take advantage of the Palm parking garage. You know, your first hour is free anyway. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it isn't squat. It's 75 cents or something, isn't it?
It's pretty reasonable to go into the parking structure.
Yeah, it really is. And if you're going to see a movie, and I think it's worth doing. So visit the Palm Theater. This is a good weekend to do it. You want to see these movies. And I'm gonna get Nancy. I'm going to see if we can go see the It happened down in the south there.
Oh, yeah. Check that out. And Intouchables, you will feel really good after seeing it. It's a real feel-good movie.
Oh, good. All right. I need that. I really do.
Oh, we all do.
Thanks, Jimmy, for being here.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
I appreciate it, sir.
Have been plenty since back in 1920. In 55, the Dodgers won it all. With Camille and Freddie Fitz, Dixie and Leo the Lip, the faithful love that crazy brand of Dodger ball. I'm talking baseball. Gil Hodges, Campanella, Dodgers baseball. Zach and Cuccinello, Pistol Pete and Robbie and Big Nuke. Junior Pee Wee Preacher and the Duke, talking baseball, forever Dodger blue. Well, Alston's guys devoured him, speed and pitching powered him, in the Coliseum and in Chavez Ravine. Willie Davis, Norm Locker, Rose Burrows, Singer Parker, don't forget Mike Marshall and Claude Osteen. I'm talking baseball. Tommy D and Sandy, Dodgers baseball. Drysdale was a dandy. Maury, Sherry, Howard, Wally Moon. Padres, Peranowski, and Sweet Lou. I'm talking baseball. Forever Dodger blue. When you're talking Dodgers baseball, Red Barber and Davey Lopes. Garvey hit him on the button. Kirk, Fernando, Donnie Sutton. Oral hardly giving up a run. And in 88 they won. Each year's a new beginning, and the Dodgers plan on winning. October baseball suits them best of all. Billingsley and Brett, Grady Little has them set. Jonathan's heat is tough to beat, so let's play ball. I'm talking baseball. For Cal and Russell Martin, Dodgers baseball. Kemp and Loney, they're just starting. Juan, Pierre, and Nomar coming through. Kent and Brad and Saito Gonzo too. Talking baseball. Forever Dodger blue. We're talking baseball, forever Dodger blue.
Sandy, Pee Wee, Robbie,
talking baseball.
Sandy, Pee Wee, Robbie,
talking baseball, forever Dodger blue.
Sandy, Pee Wee, Robbie,
LA baseball at Chavez Ravine.
Talking baseball. Now, guess what Nancy found, my wife found, bless her heart. She found, I told you that I had a really nifty, one-of-a-kind thing that was done for, a guy did it for his brother's wedding, because his brother was a huge Dodger fan, and the name of it is God is a Dodger Fan. And so I will bring that in next week, and it's on a cassette. Now, I have a cassette machine up here. Where does it say cassette down here? Okay, I got a cassette machine. I got a button, and if the cassette machine works, I think it does. Let me see. Let me turn the power on now. Maybe it just needs to be plugged in. Help. This is the most complicated looking cassette machine I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't need that. I just need something real simple. But anyway, I'll see what's going on with it. But it'll be fun to hear it. And if I can't do it there, I can get the production people to help me transfer it over. We don't have a whole lot of time. We can talk about Gabby Douglas, who won gold the second time in the individual thing. I mean, what a hoot she is. She's just a cutie pie. She's 16 and just a great, just fun. We have a gentleman here that they have in the newspaper today, and it was Speck Benjamin. I hope I say his name right. Plites? Plites? P-L-E-I-T-Z. Plites? Anyway, he lost his life in Afghanistan. He was a medic. And they said he was very much looked up to. And you have no idea, medics and corpsmen and those people, they are the most valuable people in your unit. So that's the way that is. All right. The county may seek PG&E assurances. Supervisor considers sending a letter asking that independent panel review plans for the offshore test near Diablo. So that's interesting. But I think that's a good idea because we just had in PG&E just had a rupture of a gas line that was right near the San Bruno accident. This was because a construction person hit it with a backhoe. The interesting thing about that is that they could have, had they done it, they could have put valves, safety valves, in different places along the gas lines. And they would just shut them down. But apparently they didn't. Okay. Run, Hide, or Fight. That's a video on surviving a shooting spree. This was a Houston-produced film that apparently is the video was made using $200,000 from a federal grant. And so its release was expected expedited following last month's shooting at Aurora. Anyway, so it's basically it tells people what they should try to do. Here was an interesting fact here. Houston officials considered including a segment in the video advising armed residents to use their guns if possible, but when they delved into the facts, they got a surprise. Despite Texas' more relaxed gun laws, only about 2.7% of the state's residents are legally armed. But I've talked about this. How many are illegally armed? And I don't mean by, you went and bought a gun. I'm talking about you had a gun already before the law was passed that you had to register guns, and you just never bothered to register it, We had somebody in the news a year ago that did the same thing right here on the Central Coast, and the gun was stolen out of a car. Now, we talked about, talk shows, some new talk shows that are coming up. LaToya Jackson's going to get her own reality show, which I can't tell you how exciting that is to me. But I it is. There's no question about it. It's just really pure excitement. Hey, I don't know. She's going to get one anyway. Kofi Annan quit the Syrian peace mission because there's no way of getting along without it. I mean, it was not working, and there's the whole thing. And it was said, I saw in the news, it was said that, an American voice is not the thing that's going to matter right now in Syria. That's not going to help. Here was the thing right here I was talking to Jimmy about. Aging power grid on overload as U.S. demands more electricity. Seth Tristram worries. It says, this is what they said. Are you ready for this? Where's the amount of money it said that they would have to have? Multi-billion dollars. They would take a multi-billion dollar investment to avoid rolling blackouts. And we don't have a multi-billion dollars. So that's not going to be good. All right. Farm bill and others unfinished as Congress breaks to campaign. They got a five-week recess. They get to try to keep their jobs and everything. Just say no. just say no. Okay. You know this global warming business? 5 feet of rain paralyzes Taiwan after killing 26 in the Philippines. Storm leaves 5 dead in Taiwan. There's a new storm that's a brewing headed for the Gulf of Mexico right now as we speak. I forget, it's Ernesto or somebody. And that's not looking good right either. Now listen to this. This is a strange tale. City governments across Russia drained the water from municipal fountains yesterday, hoping to keep drunken paratroopers from drowning in them. August 2nd is Paratrooper Day in Russia, and every year more than a million burly active and retired soldiers take to the streets in their signature blue berets and striped undershirts to mark the occasion, often by combining large amounts of vodka with plunges into fountains. they're still going to plunge in, don't you get it? Just they're not going to drown, they're going to die from hitting their head. Okay, well, what are you going to do? Oh, man. Now, Chick-fil-A did report a record sales day, by the way, when they had this thing, a one-day sales record Wednesday amid the whole thing. They're not saying how much it was, but they're just saying that it was a record sales day, which you'd have to assume it had to be with all those people lined up to do it. Now we're this is getting to be just a huge issue, and it's back being issued, and that is that state special funds were rerouted, and this has to do with all kinds of other funds besides, you know, what happened with the parks, and they're, you know, but this, by the time the dust settles on this thing, it's not going to seem like a wonderful world here.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Ooh, yeah.
It's a wonderful world. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll get together again on Monday at noon. Until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until